The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to return our attention now, though, to that HICWA report about the use of unlicensed springs and surgeries at Temple Street Children's Hospital. The report saying that this was wrong on a very, very basic level. Jennifer Carroll McNeill is Minister for Health and she joins me now. Minister, what was your reaction to reading the content of this report?
The report is very distressing, beyond wrong. And the first thing that you think about is the three children that were involved. They're very tender age. They're underlying illnesses and the necessity that they had for surgery. And the idea that anybody, no matter, and the report says well-intentioned, no matter how well-intentioned, would put a non-surgical spring into their little bodies and not understand how wrong that was and the impact that it has on the children and the impact that it has on their families and the impact that it has on their well-being and their follow-up care. It is a very wrong, very, very wrong thing to have happened, and the report is appropriately distressing. What's also very difficult in the report is the fact that there were procedures in place, albeit not sufficient procedures in place, but that they were also not followed. Because what that means is that within the hospital and more broadly, that other people were aware of this. For example, the surgeries need other people around them to happen. There are nurses there, there are other people involved, and that this could happen not once, but twice and three times in small children with very severe underlying conditions. I don't care how well-intentioned it was wrong.
Yeah, so for people who haven't had a chance, and most people won't read all 170-odd pages of the report, it acknowledges that the doctor at the centre of it, Surgeon A, went to this conference and there was talk about a new development with regard to certain surgeries, and that I think the type of language used in the report is with the best of intention. He sought to implement it here, but he used non-alloyed steel springs that were not suitable for implants and came without CE certification. The other thing he didn't do, and we might talk about the kind of difference in testimony in terms of who knew what within the hospital and hospital management, he didn't tell the parents. That's indefensible, isn't it?
You're correct. It's indefensible, because what you have, the only way that anybody can have a consent to a procedure is if it's genuinely informed consent. So that means fully understanding what's being done, fully understanding that procedures and practices have been are in place. So not only was this experimental, not only did he use non-surgical grade metals for this, but he also didn't go through the processes that actually were in the hospital in terms of the medical ethics committee, in terms of the medical device.
Is there a civil recourse to the parents? Or is there a criminal recourse?
There is always civil recourse in failings in healthcare. That's a matter for the courts, though, so let me be very careful.
Yeah.
In respect of medics, there is a professional investigation. There is a medical council investigation around fitness to practice and so on. And that's a question for the medical council to engage in. And I understand processes are underway.
Yeah, beyond that, though, we've got criminal legislation that this might fall foul of, no?
That's always a matter for the Gardaí, but that's not for me to make that assessment, but that's a matter for the Gardaí.
So what's your understanding as to who knew that these surgeries were being carried out from a senior management point of view within the hospital?
So
the surgeon at the centre of this is adamant that he made hospital management aware. Hospital management, for what it's worth, say, we didn't know this was happening and we didn't condone it.
So my perspective is not important, because what is more important is that HICWA has done a thorough investigation. So what HICWA says is what matters here. It's an independent quality assurance body and they have done a thorough investigation.
And they say no formal approval from senior management.
Correct. They say no formal approval. They also say that there was, that notwithstanding the processes in place, that they weren't used, that the medical ethics committee weren't used. But the reality is that's not okay. It's not okay in any system for any individual to be able to circumvent processes. And it's not okay, whether it's a cultural failing in the hospital or a process failing in the hospital and with CHI more broadly. We design systems not for the best in people, but for the worst, to protect patients against precisely this sort of thing. And it should never be possible, no matter how well-intentioned anybody could ever be, for this sort of, imagine it. Just imagine the impact on any of those children, their little body, taking a non-medical grade spring and putting it in without having gone through all of the processes, without having gone back to the original research body that was talking about this experimental surgeries. It's completely wrong, and HICWA identified that very, very clearly.
And it compounds as well, doesn't it, the myriad ways in which these children have already been failed by the state in terms of how long they wait for these surgeries?
I think that's a slightly different thing, and it's important to distinguish this. The three children involved here have a very particular form of spina bifida, of SMA. And in the past, it was the case that children with that didn't and now, because of medical intervention, they live longer than they typically would have. So the need for their surgery comes from a slightly different place. And the background to this is that they were looking for new ways of trying to perform this surgery. Mm. It is also important, though it's not directly relevant in this case, it is also important to identify that this is part of a broader set of failings around orthopaedic surgery, particularly in Temple Street, and the interventions that could and should
Why
have taken place.
Why are those
failings
so persistent?
But I think it's important, though, to distinguish this report from other cases. But there is an ongoing problem with orthopaedics.
Why?
What the report says, this report, and let's be clear that there are others on their way and I need to wait for those. But what this report says is there was
You don't need other reports to tell you how long the waiting lists are. And that Simon Harris has promised that's 8 years old now that all these children would be seen within 3 months has never been kept.
Well, that's not what he said. And that's not, let's go back
what
through
Simon
these
Harris
things.
Say?
Let's go back through these things sequentially. First of all, more broadly,
well, let's start the sequence there. What did Simon Harris say in 2017?
He was talking about a four-month period and what is appropriate for all of...
4 months. That still hasn't been met.
What's appropriate for all of the children involved here is that they get the appropriate treatment within the correct period. That is going to be sooner than 4 months in many cases, and it's going to be longer than 4 months in other cases, depending on, for example, the age of the child, the stage of development, whether they are surgery ready or otherwise. If you can imagine, as a child grows, there is a right moment for surgery, and that is not always going to be within 4 months. That is, but it is important that the child has a treatment plan.
Sorry now, Minister.
I'm sorry,
it is absolutely not the case that children are waiting longer than 4 months simply because it is the right thing to do from a surgical point of view to wait longer than 4 months. There are children who are waiting longer than 4 months who need the surgery sooner and they're not getting it because of under-resourcing in the system or because of vacancies.
I'm not arguing with you about this, but I am explaining about the relevance of the 4 months or otherwise. It is what I'm saying to you is that they need the correct treatment at the earliest possible moment.
And they're not getting that in Ireland.
There are many children who have not gotten that and for whom they need a much better response. And there is a different approach taken now, but I'm still not satisfied with it. I met the surgical team, for example, from New York last week, for whom some of our children are suitable to be transferred. And they had an outpatient clinic with many of the families last week. So this is being, we are trying to address the backlog in a couple of different ways. But that is not this 4 month, 3 month, 6 month. That is getting caught up in it in a way that isn't actually helpful. Where children need surgery, that needs to happen. But what I'm saying is not all children need surgery within 4 months of being diagnosed or an issue being developed. They need surgery at the correct time. What I want as Minister for...
Nobody's disputing that.
But I think that's just literally...
No, it is not. It is not what I was disputing.
Well, then that's clear. That's clear, sir.
What I was disputing was the suggestion, and you can say I took you up wrong, but the suggestion that people were waiting longer than 4 months simply because it was recommendation of surgery.
No, I'm not at all. Look, I'm just saying that the 4 month thing is over focused on in terms of the correct time for surgery. It's about different things. What I'm also saying is that there have been a series of difficulties with this, and I am still not satisfied with how it's being handled. I can see that there have been some improvements. I can see that there are outpatient clinics happening. I can see that more children are being getting different surgeries. And let's remember that there's many routine surgeries that are happening quite regularly and within a timely way. And then there are other children, and I've met some of these families who have much more complex comorbidities, who have much more complex clinical cases, some of whom are suitable for surgery now in Ireland, some of whom are suitable for surgery in New York, and we are trying to work through that list. But if you're asking me as Minister for Health, am I satisfied with where this is today? The answer is no. I do want to be very clear about the facts and the reasons behind different things. I have a couple of different things to do as a consequence of this report and other two reports yet to come. The first is there are a series of recommendations in this report, both for CHI and for the HSE. I will be meeting both of them next week around their implementation plan for those set of recommendations. They relate in large part to the governance issues that were deficient and that are clearly found in the HICWA report to be deficient in CHI and in the hospital structures. There are also broader questions for how consultants and what the relationship is between their clinical leads, the clinical directors, and that's a bigger issue for the HSE. Mm. Quite separately, and in addition to that, I am not satisfied with where the scoliosis progress is, and I will be taking that much more closely into monitoring that much more closely myself. I'm not going to put a timeline on that because that's not that I want to get into that, and that's not the answer to anything. Ministers giving timelines, I just want to get the work done and see how the progress.
Woody, your predecessors famously gave a timeline, and it's come back to bite them in the ass several times since. So I can see why you wouldn't. But to people listening to this, whose children need surgery today and they're not getting it today, and they don't know when they're going to get it, I mean, they might not want a specific timeline, an exact date, but they maybe want some degree of confidence instilled in them that they won't be waiting too much longer, that it won't get to a point, and this is this awful reality for some of them, that they get to a point where surgical intervention no longer helps them.
I think as well it's important to recognise the 513 families who had surgery last year and the impact that that makes. And let's not forget, and the 464 the previous year, but let's not forget that some children need more than one surgery. So I don't want to have this conversation as though there's nothing happening, because there clearly is.
No, I didn't suggest there isn't, but I asked you specifically about the people who are at home.
I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm not trying to argue with you.
I know,
but
I asked you about somebody listening to this and their kid is in pain.
Okay, but there are also 513 families who had surgery last year, and we have to reflect the complete body of experience that people are having. I don't want any child to be in pain, and I'd want them to be seen. For example, I met a family last week who had 4 outpatient appointments cancelled. That is not acceptable to me, and that is the kind of thing that I will follow up on and make sure it doesn't happen. But I want to reflect the complete experience, and I don't want people listening, whether they are families or otherwise, families who have had surgery who need their experience reflected as much as not, that they understand that there is a body of work here and that it needs to improve.
Can I ask what you perceive to be the barriers to it improving? I mean, so is it the type of stuff that this report, and this report, you're right to say this is a different
issue.
It is
a different issue.
But this report, you know, it talks about, you know, that kind of, you know, governance issues, and a lot of recommendations are about governance. When it comes to the other issue around kind of the broader problems with scoliosis and children being seen in a timely manner, is that because of systemic failures? Is it governance failures? Is it vacancies in the system where there's a difficulty in filling them? Is it something more systemic than that?
No, there's a couple of very different things going on. I mean, for example, the resources have been increased and the capacity to hire is certainly there. The surgical capacity is there. The theatre capacity is there, though in the new hospital that would be greatly improved. It is difficult to get to hire more surgeons of this kind into Ireland, and we are constantly trying to do that. Yeah. It's not as though we have enough of them. We don't, and that has a big impact. But not just the surgeon, but the surgical teams around that. And this is largely done, the more complex surgeries are largely done in the public system, and there's more routine surgeries going to private hospitals, which the state is paying for. But where something goes wrong, it disrupts it very considerably, and a child has to be at the right point for the surgery as well. That's a lot of different answers to your question, but my point is it is quite complex, and I don't want to say that there's a single...
I know, if it was a simple solution, I think people would accept that it would have been solved a long time ago, so that people listening will accept it's complex. I just was trying to get a sense of what you perceive to be the biggest hurdle to surmount, and it is probably a staffing one then, is it? Is it like a resourcing from that point of view and how difficult it is?
I mean, if I look at, say, for example, this time next year where we have more surgery, the theatre is available, really top class theatre is available, and if I had more than enough consultants, orthopaedic surgeons of specialists in this area and multidisciplinary teams around them to support with the respiratory issues and the cardiology issues that are often connected to this, I think that's a slightly different place. But I do need more surgeons. We do need more surgeons. It is also true to say, I think, that this can be managed better. I want to get further into that myself, and I'm saying that to you. I need more information on that too.
Well, listen, Minister, we appreciate you coming in. Thanks a million for taking the time. Minister for Health, Jennifer Carroll McNeill.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.